Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. Hey, it's the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in
the
place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said one, two, three.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Uh-huh. Now. Let's start the show.
Yeah. Well, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's Monday night here in Coral Springs, Florida, just a mile and a half away from a couple weeks ago, mass shooting at Parkland. And the days rage on. I'm here with Cyril Dobrik.
Raging on, thank you.
And Ethan Moore.
Hey, Dougie, starting off on a high note.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's reality. That's something that's happened.
That's for sure.
That's the neighborhood we're in, and... Yeah, we're going to talk today about Sheriff Israel, if you think he should resign, number one. And then we're going to talk about today to protect and serve or to run and cower away.
You know, cowards whatever. From Broward.
School resource officer. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's an officer. He has a badge. You know whatever you know, as you can't say, you know, he wasn't the SWAT tactical guy.
Right.
You know, that guy probably would have ran in.
Well,
right.
Maybe
he had a pension. 34 years on the job. He is not staring.
President,
what did that one kid say? Staring down the barrel of a gun.
President Trump said he would have ran in barehanded.
He would have taken his shirt off. It would have been so amazing.
Yeah.
So this is the guy that he ran away at the
it turns out there was three other cops that actually decide. And the funny, you know, we're going to get into it today. So we're going to start with that. And, so we'll get you guys lined up in the Facebook Live audience. But, you know, I'm sure Ciro's all ready for this kind of conversation. What else can we talk about today? I saw Black Panther.
Oh, yeah.
Why were you walking in the woods?
I'm going to talk about that. You know,
okay.
I thought it was a good movie. I give it a thumbs up. I'll see it again.
Really?
But I don't think it was fabulous. So we're gonna share my why I think that. And, you know, we're going to wonder if this guy should step down. What else? Oh, millennials. There's some news about the millennials. You think millennials are people that are in shape, or you think they're going to be, tub of lard? You think they're going to be, a little taffy, a little pudgy, a little doughy? Do you think they're going to be athletes?
Speaking from a very bodybuilder's body, I don't know. I don't know. Either way.
As an older millennial, I think my generation is going to rise up and be strong here. Yeah.
All right. Are you a little shape now?
I'm not talking about myself. Don't look at me.
Well, no. You're in the group.
This isn't on camera, is it, Doug?
Yeah, you got that angle.
We're just audio. This
I wouldn't put myself sitting in that chair. Doug, why don't you film it from over there? Well, this is the way I look.
Sorry,
the best.
Folks. It looks like I ate a wolf.
At any rate, by the way, I'm getting in shape. All this combatant and this rough atmosphere we're in and stuff, I'm putting on the gloves and I've been hitting a heavy bag again.
Just in case, huh?
Yeah, I'm buying an ounce. I'm not going with the quarters anymore. I'm going for the heavy bags. No, I'm going, you know.
Get a better price that way.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. But, you know, I'm not a chimney. So I'm...
Are you actually punching a giant bag of weed?
No, I'm hitting...
That's what I'm picturing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm living a high life.
Work out some aggression on that.
You got to be inspired, you know what I mean? Could you imagine? You're hitting it. You're like a human grinder. You know what I mean? You're just getting rid of all the stems. That's what I'm doing. You know, Rocky used to break the fucking ribs of the meat. And tenderize the beef for the. That's why they ahead, Rock. Go ahead, hit my fucking meat. You know, that's what happened.
Knuckles that was a gay porn, right?
Okay. That's knuckles just, full of crystals.
It was a different version.
Maksum cow.
So I'm gonna show everybody how to wrap your hand. You know how to wrap your hand if you're hitting. If you're gonna hit a bag, you know how to properly wrap your hand.
I've seen it in the movies.
Yeah, so you couldn't replicate it.
No, I don't think.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I saw somebody play the trombone once in the movie. I don't think I'm gonna fucking blow a note. Wire on that. Yeah,
that was another
matter.
Gay porn movie, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, blowing a trombone.
Yeah.
And what else? So.
Yeah, I learned
that's what we're going to have today in the show. We're going to open that, of course, straight from the headlines. No break, because we don't have a sponsor.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? And if anybody wants to, by the way, we are reaching a big audience now.
Yeah, Coca-Cola would be good.
Come on, man, great. Where sponsor. Are you?
Yeah. Anyway, so we got a lot. All right, so let's just get to the opening part of the here in South Florida, the news of everybody dropped the ball in this one. It seemed the FBI, you know, they didn't know this guy just, you know, 35 visits from the police department and the school board, you know what I mean? Everybody from the school. Anyway, so everybody fucked up. And now this cop that I have friends that I ran into and I've spoken with in the last several days, I know him. And he's like, he's a real nice guy and everything.
Sure. Super nice guy.
I get it. You know, yeah.
He's a real sweetheart.
And then I'm ready for somebody to say, you know, Ted Bundy was a real nice dude, too. You know, Pete, the chicks liked him. You know, whatever. I get it. Everybody's a good person. You know, I think about this bipolar. My mom was bipolar, dude. So everybody in front of anybody else, my mother would be sweet, an angel. You want to eat? Oh, I'm here.
Right.
But the minute that door would shut and it was just family.
Yeah.
Right.
Fucking, different. What the fuck?
It's different.
So, yeah, he was a nice guy.
So you're saying he acts brave in front of the other cops?
Well, listen. Well, yeah, maybe he does. You know, maybe he's like, maybe he's at the pool hall with him. Like, hey, you know what? If I ever had something going, I would shoot some fucking guy in the head.
Right.
You know, I'd like to know if that's his background.
He's probably telling that story like those cops in Reservoir Dogs in the bathroom. I've got the gun to his head, and I said, don't you move, motherfucker. And he was reaching for his wallet.
Yeah.
Goddamn guy didn't even know how close he got his head fucking blown off.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid.
Great movie.
Great.
You know, so he, now, here's the interesting thing. His attorney spoke for him today, because I don't imagine this guy wants to get in front of any camera.
No.
This is a, you know, I don't think I'll stay behind this wall.
Unfortunately, he was in front of like 30 cameras in that hallway standing down.
Scott Israel, who's the sheriff at this moment here in Broward County. And he came out and he said his own thing. It's not my, we're going to get into that too. But he basically, his testimony was that he thought he heard, first of all, they thought there was firecrackers.
Right, you know, those crazy kids.
Now, I shoot an AR-15, so I know the sound of them. I wear earphones when they're on. I've never had to put on earphones when somebody was lighting firecrackers.
No.
Right.
So if I'm a trained, I'm a BSO, I'm a trained. Listen, I'm not an officer, but I've been around gunfire, so I know, I can distinctly know the sound of an AR-15 being shot in the hallways of a big building.
Right. Well, you know, it didn't sound like it did on Counter-Strike in his defense, so.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I don't know what
played
this
a lot of video games,
you know,
but.
Is this the guy we always see at the donut shop?
Yes.
So now that's the first thing. They don't know, but then somebody quickly said, no, this is somebody who didn't have their head up their ass went, no, I think it's gunfire.
And he's like, no, it's firecrackers.
Yeah, somebody's got some lady fingers. Those things you throw on the ground, those kids throw at your feet. Come on, relax.
Give me that maple glaze.
It's a Roman candle that's just a little off timing.
Yeah. Some old VW that just had a backfire. Where's my donut?
So he thought it was outside the school.
Yeah, that's his first thought. Now,
he ran out to his car to check his car for security.
Yeah. I mean, I had a car
hiding
in high school
his trunk.
I hope I didn't leave my keys in my car. Let me go check.
My car in high school backfired.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, every time the resource officer would look at me like, you shooting?
Or he would just run away.
Well, I don't know if it was the car or just the way you look, buddy.
No, I was
Sir,
I was,
you know,
I was in shape. I was a cheermaster. There was no way I was
cheermaster.
I was
cheermaster? What is that?
That's a male cheerleader.
You were a male cheerleader?
Dude, are you kidding
me? Yeah, I did.
You never told us this, I understand
too.
Why, but
wow, can you imagine Ciro leading cheers?
No, I wasn't leading him. I was underneath the pyramid.
Oh, I can see there. I got your motivation.
He's like, give me a D.
Yeah.
For the D state. Deep state.
I just couldn't, yeah.
No, he kept saying, he kept wanting X's.
D.
Why don't the girls do X's?
I got your D. Give me an E.
Hmm. So, all right. So this guy, now here's the first thing. Now listen, again, I'm not an officer, but if I'm standing there with a weapon in my hand, at least a handgun, and I'm hoping it's at least a .40 caliber, you know, maybe he said, maybe I'm only going to carry a 9 since I'm policing the school. What can happen in a school? You know, if that's his thought pattern, I'm just guessing. But I would be carrying a .40 caliber if I'm any type of security. I want a gun that could put somebody down. Right? I mean, you got to have at least a .40 caliber. So he's got to at least have that in his hand. So He now, we confirm there's gunfire, and he puts himself in a position, and he's still convinced that it might be outside. So he finds a position. He gets outside because he hears radio reports that there was bodies around the football field.
Huh.
So now he's like, I know it's outside now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because everybody who attacks a school attacks
right.
the playground.
Well, he actually thought it was the playground at the next school over. He was,
yeah.
He was headed that way.
I wasn't supposed to hit the school at all. I was supposed to hit that playground where all these little peckerhead kids are at.
He's like the guy from Clerks. I wasn't even supposed to be here today.
How useless are the school resource officers, though? Seriously. Right?
Well,
the
I mean,
school
I mean,
officers, are they...
I mean, you're not...
They have caught every single kid smoking pot
I know.
And cigarettes
That's what they do.
On campus.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they're very good at that.
Yeah.
They walk around the halls and everyone hates them and...
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll give him the pig sound.
Right,
you know,
right.
He's probably heard that a million times.
He was probably like, fuck these kids.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, maybe it's a lesson learned. You know? Don't be such smart asses.
When are we going to learn?
There was always that chick in high school who had daddy issues who liked them too much. You're like, he's a man.
Oh, she liked the authority figure.
Yeah.
She liked the man in uniform.
Yeah, she's a dominatrix now.
Well, apparently he was just playing dress up. So
yeah.
When are we going to learn? We don't need the cops.
Now hold on a second. All right, so obviously we didn't need him. We'll say we didn't need him, but we didn't have one. So this guy takes position again. You know, it's just that it's almost like an admission to me. If somebody says that, if you're in a position of like you're saying, okay, this obviously is you're not going to put Rambo to protect the school. You know what I mean? You're going to get the guy who's probably
Wouldn't
the least,
that be awesome?
You know, has been around forever. Give him a cushy job,
right?
So now we're talking about the removal of Scott Israel, who is the Broward County Sheriff.
Yeah, I saw him on TV.
Right, and he's pleading for his life now because even a couple people saying like, look, and he's like, this isn't my fault. You know, I wasn't there. You know, I fucking didn't get sleep the night before. Whatever. You know what I mean? He's got to go down with the ship. This guy.
Yeah, he does. That's what responsibility
it's like,
is.
It's like watching a cat trying to scratch its way out of a box. You know what I'm saying? This guy he's gonna have to stay. Listen, I don't know where my friends stand, but listen, if they have any sense, this guy's got to go. Well, he did this. This is because this is what's happened. You're the sheriff. You're the fucking guy that's going to protect my home, my family, and then eventually the people around this cuckoo fucking land of ours are going to tell me whether or not I can have a gun in my fucking house or not.
It doesn't stop at legislation. That's a problem.
Well,
here's the thing. If you have a gun in your house, Dougie, do you really need the cops at all? Do we really need police? That's what I want everyone to ask themselves right now. What good are they doing? Hmm. They're pulling over black people? That's their job, basically. Are they protecting citizens?
I got pulled over. I get pulled over, you know?
Okay, they're pulling over Dougie and black people.
Yeah, listen.
More and more.
Shaking down the citizens. That's what they do.
Hmm.
They shake us down for tickets.
Before you get into this whole thing about the... I'm going to tell you that based on budgets, I can tell you that knowing there's certain police departments that are running like almost like, I don't want to say a skeleton crew. Like there's a certain mandate that if so many officers at a certain point in time you have to have.
Yeah.
And those numbers are then justified by the fucking, let's just say, the demographics of the neighborhood. You know, in Coral Springs, you would think, what's this? There's a lot of gang activity in this, so there's a lot of that going on. So I can imagine somebody sitting in your seat in the world wouldn't have the fact that there's, like, I don't know, four to ten major gangs in the city of Coral Springs that, you know, the police actually have to monitor for car theft. By the way, sorry for Elgin David, who got his morning.
See Elgin.
Those airbags.
They stole his airbag. So,
see, they're not doing anything.
Yeah, see how fucking useless these guys are? Any rate, but you know, listen, this guy was not obviously the elite force. This guy was not a SWAT member.
No.
Let's face it. So, but he's hearing the gunfire. Now, I am of the belief he's in that position. All right, he made his decision. Did he break any laws or not? No, he's a coward. He fucking made a decision. And I can guarantee you, no matter whether this guy's, whatever happens to him from this day on, it's going to be a living hell. If he has a soul, because he's going to hear the screams of these kids for the rest of his life. So without that, you know, forget about any other type of manly punishment he could be put on him. You know, he's, you know, could you imagine hearing those screams? Could you imagine if you were the one that had the gun outside the school and you heard all these people screaming and you decided, I'm not going to go in and help, and then you find out X amount of people got killed. You're not going to,
you're not going to
live
that down. No, that's when you pick up the bottle.
Even the most cowardice of people, whether it was probably good that they didn't go in there because they could probably go in there and shoot the fucking Pepsi machine, you know, by mistake. You know, and you know, We don't want that to happen. But there, if somebody who's capable, and again, I'm going to put myself in this situation. I know how to fire, and I'm pretty good at with a weapon. And if I even had my 9mm, aside from wanting to get pecked off from some stupid-ass BSO thinking I'm the shooter and shooting me from the side, you know, killing me dead when I'm trying to save somebody, that's the first thing I'd be thinking.
See, during the whole Black Lives Matter thing, all we heard about was that these are American heroes. These are first responders. We need them. They're the bedrock of civilization, yada, yada, yada. And now we see that, like, when push comes to shove, they're not even helping. So that's what I'm saying. No, I feel if you're a police officer...
Before you generalize something, let me say this. The cop that was in the Michael Brown situation was a street cop that has to deal with the fucking violence and then the neighborhoods and stuff, and that was acting accordingly and actually, unfortunately, had to draw his weapon when he may not have wanted to have to in the first place. But then you have a guy like this who's on a different scheme of things. He's a police officer just as much as I'm a comic and you're a different comic, you know, to be labeled in any type of same mass idea of what the guy's doing. So this isn't a police bashing situation. This is a situation that somebody in a position of being an was put there
in such an
and he didn't do anything. And like I said, he probably made a good decision because he may have shit himself because he's so scared. Who the fuck knows? But don't come on TV and don't start saying shit here in our community saying, oh, it wasn't that because you were scared. I think the shots were coming from the outside. Yeah, that's where school attacks, you know, next time there's an airport bombing, you know, they're not going to bomb the airport. They're going to bomb the rental car location. Hey, listen, let's not, you know what I'm saying?
There's been a shooting on Perimeter Road.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Let me go to the car rental place. It's probably happening over there.
See, it's always where you least expect it to happen. That's
yeah.
Right.
they're attacking the luggage fucking centers.
They're just trying to outsmart the cops.
I just feel like, you know, if I was a cop and I had just been through this whole last couple of years in America where it's this whole thing where the police are kind of under attack,
right?
You'd feel like, let me really be a hero. Let me mind my P's and Q's. I'm on thin ice. All of us are on thin ice a little bit with the populace. And to still not be there for everyone, I don't know. I just think it's like it's even more inexcusable.
That's what you're supposed to do. If you woke up that morning and you put on a badge and you put that gun, the minute you put that gun in your holster, the minute you've done that, that's what you're fucking doing. And I know cop. I have friends who are cops. Like a lot of, and that's what you fucking do. It's the same thing as a soldier when you make that decision.
See, they're used to these easy busts where they're busting people for drugs.
He's trying to keep some guy from jumping over the wall from skipping fourth period.
Yeah. Anyone that looks in a mirror and then flicks their badge to straighten it up should go in and kill school shooters. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Well, and as, you know, everybody on Facebook was trying to tell me, you know, people that barely even shot a water pistol, but they're sitting there going, well, he had an AR-15. Listen, I can tell you right now, if I'm going to be able to go after this kid, assuming I'm not going to get shot by a BSO officer, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to track the sound, right? You track the sound where it's coming from. You can hear people screaming. You got to listen for gunfire. 17 people were shot. I'm going to guess there was over 35 to 50 shots taken. There was at least more than one clip left. You know what I mean? So there could have been anywhere between 60, 80 shots, some people got shot three or four, you know what I'm saying? So it could have been 100, 200 rounds shot. So that's when you hear
that's enough time to figure
when
out
when you
where
hear
they are.
An AR-15, you hear it 100 times.
Right.
You know, that's what I want to find out in this report. How many times was that gun shot? How many clips did that guy pull out?
Well, the guy's lying, or he just panicked. And when you panic, your senses don't work right or whatever. But you shouldn't be panicking, right?
He shouldn't. Well, listen, you know, at one point, and that's what I'm saying. This guy's going to be in hell. Don't be surprised if this guy ends up, you know, putting a gun to his head in a year or two. You find out, hey, remember that cop who didn't fucking go in? And guess what?
I hope not, but that's a...
No, that's a horrible... You know, listen.
It's a possibility.
You know, it's a decision. And that's why I'm saying there's a lot of people, and people are going to joke about Trump because he said he would go in there. You know, again, because it's easy. But let me tell you something.
Say, right, yeah.
What he did say right after he said he would go in there, they said much like everybody that's sitting in this room would feel like they'd want, you know, would feel like that's what they would do.
Right.
Because that if you were a carrier, you would try to do something. If you were standing there and you saw the cop, could you imagine in a situation where some older person was just sitting there and saw heard it, and like sitting in their car shaking, they see a cop cowering behind a fucking electric box, outside a building, and like, what are you fucking doing?
Yeah,
lose your fucking mind. You know what I mean?
That's what they're for, right? That's why we pay them, and it's also like an airline pilot, right?
What about the kid that was in ROTC?
He's actually a hero, right? He went in and like organized the kids and made sure they were getting to safety,
waited to get everybody in, made sure the door was shut, and boom, he was like the key maker in the fucking Matrix.
There you go. Yeah, but think about it like this, like, right? Like an airline pilot. You pay him whatever, $100,000 a year, however much it is. I think it's way less for some of them.
Right.
But you're paying them. They go in there and you push a few buttons, really, right? Like, most of the time, everything works fine.
Yeah, the plane flies itself.
It's for that one time when it doesn't work and right. you need, like, you know, Sully.
Yeah. Yeah.
Captain Sully to land the thing. Right. And that's what you need. You need this guy should be, like, he should be on point and ready to go.
Now that this has happened again, you would hope that the police departments around the country would start reevaluating those they have in those positions.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be fine from now on.
With that being
said, everything will work perfectly, squeaky clean.
Yeah.
Busting drug addicts. Get on the ball, boys.
Well, there's different, like I said, which brought the next big thing of topic in the last several weeks, which whether or not teachers should be given handguns. Now, I made a post on Dougie Almeida, my Facebook post, and my tweets at Dougie Dangerous. I said, look. Not every teacher, when I think about it, it's funny because if I picture most of my teachers in my past, I would never want them to be handed a gun.
No.
Nor would I expect them to do it. Now, here's the thing. This comes from a very narrow-minded sense for most people. But I can assure you, across this country, there are a lot of teachers that will be willing and if not already have and are doing this.
They're dreaming about this day.
They have lessons planned.
Or they have them. Right around or the they ground. Have them. Listen, if I'm in a shady club and I happen to be driving and I have my weapon on me, there's no reason I wouldn't keep it and put it in my merch bag just in case some fucking loon wants to shoot up a fucking comedy club.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Could you imagine if that happened? All of a sudden, you know, opening the feature act shoots dead a fucking mass shooter.
That would be crazy.
Well, I'd be headlining.
You'd probably get booked. Yeah, yeah.
I'd get fucking headlining that. I'd get a million fucking Twitter followers.
Right.
From being, imagine that.
You come out to every show wearing a bandolier from then on.
Yeah, I'm Speedy Gonzalez, man.
Bing, bing, bing. Your opener would be like, so that happened.
That's Ricochet Rabbit, by the way. I fucked up. Who knows, man? It's going to be a bunch of things. I mentioned the Air Marshal program. You know, of course, my friends got, it's not the same. I know it's not the same. It's the concept. The idea of an Air Marshal. Is to put.
So you think this is a good idea? The arming the teachers?
No. See, the way you just put it, the verbiage you chose to use, arming the teachers.
Some
no,
of the teachers?
No. I think
Trump said 20%.
No. Well, that number is still amorphic.
Okay.
That's not a number that should be fixed and worked by. That's an amorphic number that will be. Here's the thing. You know what I mean by an amorphic number? When it comes to stats or something
you mean like
that.
Like amorphous, like it hasn't
it's,
been.
Its relevancy will be determined once it becomes determined. In other words, if you find out, if you actually vet all your teachers and you find out who wants to be part of this, who wants to volunteer for this, and then you find out, you know, you get them, they vet them, you look at their experience, you check them out, back up. And if you, let's say it turns out to be 10% of the teachers in America.
I'd want the guy or the lady who is competent but reluctant. Like, no, I don't want it. I don't want this burden.
Yeah, because you'd want a perfect
like,
world.
No, but you're the one. You're the man for the job. And then
Ethan's over here wanting perfect world again. It doesn't happen perfect.
Hey. Talking about going 1984 the wrong way.
So you know what I'm saying?
Find out all your teachers are crazy.
So that's why it's an amorphic number or something like that. It's an amorphic number because until it's determined, you don't know. So and that's what I'm saying. Even if it was 10%, the idea of it, like this concept, the air marshal concept, is this is somebody that dresses in plain clothes and it actually is an air marshal. It's actually coming on fully armed with two handguns and other devices, which I can't disclose, otherwise I can get in trouble. And then they handle these situations, not to mention the other things aside from that. They put the big door, you know, the big, you can't get into the fucking
cockpit.
Okay. You know, that's a fucking vault.
That's the teacher's lounge.
It's a teacher's lounge.
Okay.
And they're armed in there. They may have a gun or two, the pilots. You know, they may be carrying that.
They have an armory.
That has to be, that's why sometimes when the you could tell when the pilot leaves quicker, because he has to pack his, and he has to put his gun away. He doesn't just put it on a holster, come walking out like, you know, fucking, you know, Wild Bill Hickok.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? You know, but he basically, or they leave it on the plane if he's getting, whatever. So there's a process. So that kind of, it's a combination of things, right? So it's going to be maybe this will happen. Maybe let's not let any 21-year-old or anybody under that, unless the father or the parents are present, right? You can buy the gun only if the parents present at that age, you shouldn't be somewhere like in Miami Beach. You know what I mean? If you want to buy a gun in Miami Beach, you're like, I'm going hunting. What the fuck are you hunting? Fish? You know,
Miami? You don't want anyone in Miami to buy a gun.
Anybody in Miami's not going to be hunting. You know what I mean? What do you be hunting? I'm hunting pussy, man.
You know, you know home invasion. They're protecting themselves.
It's a sanctity of life issue.
To me, it seems a little crazy.
All right.
I don't know why. It just seems weird. Well, I guess like the idea of like the teacher's supposed to be instructing you. So
how many teachers are thinking like how many teachers you think there are in that school that were actually that's here, Stoneman Douglas? How many teachers think they actually have on staff?
I don't know what the number is.
3,000 kids.
I don't know. Oh, it's 3,000 kids, so it's
I would imagine
a couple hundred?
one teacher for every 30-50 kids.
Yeah. 300 maybe, I guess, maybe 250.
So you have 250-300 teachers in there. So if you had, that's 10% would be 30. That would be a militia. Mm-hmm. In the school, if they were fucking carrying guns and they were capable. These are people that shoot every day. They got scopes. Well, you know, they don't go home and fucking do things.
Here's my concern. We can't even get this cop whose job it is to do it.
We just determined that. The police, who you fucking hate, they have to get their heads out of their ass because now they got to realize the people that you have based in the high schools and the schools, they can't be like 2 years from retirement and just fucking coaxing to the end. You know, they have to, some of these people, maybe get the young go-getter who knows kids a little better and what pop and will recognize with a fucking rap song that means that someone's going to go to war. You know, maybe
is that how you know? Is there a rap song that tells you?
There could be all kinds of codes. Fuck when it comes to that. You know, meanwhile,
seems racist for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, I'm sorry. A rock and roll song if it's a white supremacist.
Okay, there we go. You know I feel more comfortable as a liberal now.
If you play Christian rock backwards.
That's the thing amazes me about people. That's the thing about people. They always say, why aren't you, I want you to speak to me from my perspective. Listen, if I'm speaking to 10 people, that's really asking a lot. So, you know, that's what people always expect the spoken person to be speaking from their perspective. And if it's not, it's considered disrespectful or shameful. And that's the problem with this baby whine, crying fucking land of ours of people. That's all we have. But to be, why don't you do it this way? I'd be happy if you said it that way. That's not fair. I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, people are too concerned about their feelings.
People that mop their floors and mop themselves in the corners every time.
Why does this keep happening?
How's this going to be?
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? At least wake up, all right? I think if you had 300 teachers in a school, if you had 2%, which would be 6 of them that were fully capable in any situation, the minute there's a gun shot off in the school, you got 4 or 5 people approaching. And if I got a handgun with a guy with an AR-15 and we're walking through school hallways, the advantage is me with the handgun, not the guy with the fucking rifle. Okay, that there's a range of motion where I can get around and shoot and put, you know, if I get up behind. That's what I'm saying. People like, I don't do this every day. There's plenty of trained people that know what the fuck they're doing if they actually were going to do it.
Tactical roles.
But when someone really flips and decides that I'm going to go ahead and instead of just killing myself, which is what you should do, I'm going to take out as many people as I can.
Right.
Then they're going to look for a way to do that. Do you think it's really going to be a deterrent? Or you just think you're going to take him down before it gets too bad?
Somebody asked on Facebook, would this work? This would work if, in fact, one or two God forsaken. Let's say something like this occurs. Let's say we're talking about that perfect world you love so much, Ethan. Right? And let's say it's a perfect. Everybody got their way. Gun. You know, there's no more AR-15s, but there are. You know, now guys are making another rifle, which just looks like a fucking walking cane out of it, and it could throw 30 rounds out. Whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Why do you assume my perfect world doesn't contain AR-15s?
All right. Well, you know, I still have mine.
I didn't say anything about AR-15s.
Well, whatever. So,
okay.
I'm trying to think of some give and take, you know, with the gun laws and
I just want people to act like heroes.
Yeah, well.
That's what I want.
We don't get that as in South Florida and Broward County Sheriff Officer.
Yep.
Resign. All the police officers resign.
The guy Scott Israel. By the way, here's three on the investigation. This was, I think we need to find out, were there bodies on the football field to corroborate his story of the radio messages he was getting? Number two, were there firecrackers and bottle rockets? we need to know. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And before we and by the way, millennials, these heroes that we're hoping to capture.
Yeah, that's the next generation of heroes, all millennials.
It's not looking good because studies have said they're going to be the fattest generation in history.
Oh, Jesus
Christ.
Did
he think it was one of those things that, you know, the fold the paper and then you do this and you pop it?
Yeah.
Remember that? Is that right. What it was? Yeah. Oh, my God, people are playing with poppers again. This is ridiculous.
I can't believe those kids. I don't know. At any rate. All right, you know what? I'm not going to worry about cueing music, by the way. But if you have any comments, go to Wake Up Dougie. That's our Twitter's handle. It's at Wake Up Dougie.
Yeah.
Comment follow on the show. All right. I don't feel like playing music and shit.
So millennials are fat?
That's what it says. Says they're sitting around more. They're not they're not getting out.
Oh, it's the phones and the video games.
Yeah.
I guess.
I already said it. Ban them.
I already started doing that. By the way, I took my phone on Sunday and I left my phone where I couldn't get it, and I just basically went through my day.
And
I went. I went hours. I went 7 hours.
How'd you feel about yourself?
Without looking at my phone. I felt good. I got shit done. I wrote a joke. I sat down. I worked it and did it. And I cleaned the pool. You notice how clean the pool was?
Nice.
I laid out because my white skin, I man groom. So this is, my white skin, I look,
See, I thought it was your wife's pool boy who was out there.
Yeah. Stop looking over my fence, pervert.
You perverts.
Robert Oliver says, I carry a gun to protect. Of course, that's why I do. I can't read. Finally, someone knows the advantage of yes. I don't know. It's going to get hoopla. Anyway, all right, let's go to straight from the headlines. You heard about this person, Syrah. This is a story I can imagine you would gravitate to. But the transgender high school wrestler.
God, man, what is wrong with people these days?
I miss this one.
It looks like a boy.
Oh, so it's...
I mean, if you tried, maybe I'd go with this.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, you should have had like a better shade of lipstick or something.
But if you're going to do a Peterson roll to another girl, you're a boy.
Interesting.
And if you're a wrestler, you know exactly what a Peterson roll is.
Yeah.
And you go...
I thought it was something you get at the bakery.
That's true.
Yeah, I did not know.
Girls don't have the hip strength to pull off a Peterson roll. Mm.
There you go. See, there you go. That's fucking... I love it.
I don't know what a Peterson roll is, but...
Transgender wrestler wins second straight Texas girls high school title.
You know when I'm going to be pissed? When they lose. That's when I'm going to
That's true.
Mad.
Yeah.
Well, like, all right.
So imagine you're the girl that beats her.
That's when the men are really fucked.
Goddamn
Cypress, Texas, for the second year in a row, a transgender wrestler has won the Texas girls class 6A 110-pound division. Mac begs. So do I sometimes. An 18-year-old senior from Euless Trinity High School near Dallas entered the tournament in Cypress outside of Houston with an undefeated record. Well, he's really a dude. He beat Chelsea Sanchez, whom he beat for the title back in 2017. Boy, she's starting to feel like a Buffalo Bill.
Chelsea Sanchez must be pissed.
Yes. I can imagine this girl. She's going up like you were runner-up in the wrestling? Yeah, what happened? Well, I fought this guy who was trans, this chick who was transgender.
But that does happen both ways. Like, I remember a karate tournament one time.
And yeah.
They mixed genders, which they don't normally do.
Right.
Like, but there was this one girl who was one of the sensei's daughters, and he knew she could kick our ass.
Right.
But he also knew that we'd be hesitant to do anything.
Yeah,
we're not going to punch a girl. My friend got his ass kicked so bad, and all he would do is look back going, I can't hit.
Look, here's what I say. If women and men are the same, right, then right. Why don't we just have one division? Let's just have one division. No men's, no women's, just athletes. You go for it. I don't care if you're trans, you're male, female, intersex.
That's what it's getting. It's going to get to the point where if you expect equality yet provisions, in a sense, and under any circumstance, the only way that would work is if I had to fight a woman in Taekwondo or kickboxing or something, she'd have to be able to weigh 250 or more.
So there you go. Then that's
the
rules.
I love it. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah,
I'll fight a big 250-pound fucking chick. I say that now, and then she gets in the ring. She looks like
some Samoan chick comes out there.
I've wrestled a few myself. Come to think of it,
Samoan dance right before it, and you're like, oh,
yeah, this
shit.
Is a bad idea.
When you do the shoulder roll, you're like,
I don't know.
Yeah, what's that fucking move again, Zero? What is it? The what?
I'm not trying to be provocative. Would it really be such a bad thing if we just had like athletes?
I think there should be certain sports you could probably do
that
with.
American Gladiators.
Yeah, we did remember Blaze and Ginger and Lacey.
Right. Nitro.
But that's not real sports.
Those are like strippers who worked out.
What about just like? How, football.
Are you telling me dodging a tennis ball from a land cannon
the only
is
way
not
that,
a real sport?
Only,
all right, maybe you're right.
Listen, the only way that this will happen is in a sport like tennis.
Tennis,
there you
go.
Will be the first merger of eventually the guys and the girls will say, all right, you want to get, this is, all you got to be, you got to hit this, swing this fucking racket and move and run around.
And also we allow juicing in all sports. I'd like to see that too.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever it takes to get there.
Yeah, let's not worry about our health care bill as we age. Anyway, back to the story. Mac Beggs, an 18-year-old senior from But listen, she's in the process. She's in the process of transitioning from female to male.
From male to female, or female to male?
Beggs is in the process of transitioning from female to male and taking low doses, which I'm going to guess is more than they think. Low doses of testosterone. So it's a chick.
So basically, she started as a woman, and now she's...
And she's taking steroids and stuff.
Okay. So she's competing in the women's or the men's?
In women.
Competing in women's, but she happens to be taking steroids. Yeah, it's basically like a loophole where you can take steroids.
Yeah, yeah. Right. There you go. This is a breakthrough for your athletes.
Interesting.
They're going to learn from this. They're going to see this chick...
Let's do this.
...who beat the shit out of every girl in Texas.
Right.
And just because she was taking some fucking... Hey, let them do it. Right, like, dude, it'll be like the gladiator days. Just put them in their own camps in their own fucking lands.
Just set them
up. Make them just, hey, man, this is what you're gonna do. You're gonna jump. You're gonna run. You're gonna throw. Whatever the fuck it is.
Right.
And that's it. That's your life, man. Juice up. Here's the needle. Suck it up, baby. Eat some bananas too. That's good for you. It is good.
Gendarinas
for the potassium.
Nationwide.
I'm trying to eat more bananas. My potassium. Yes. As you get older, you start looking at you want to make sure you eat a lot of bananas. Any rate,
I feel like he's talking about his boner, Ciro.
No, I'm not talking about my boner.
No,
if I was talking about my boner, I'd be talking about a sausage. by the way, shout out to everybody at Speak Fridays. Had a fucking blast there on Friday night. Got to do a great set over there.
Like, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, oh man, dude, place is packed. They have a fucking great crowd.
Where do they do that now?
It's like in Wynwood area.
Okay,
like the light box. It's called over there, and great dude. And Rob Lee always runs a great program over there, man. And you know, and the worst part, the funny thing was, I had a gig. I had a gig in Delray at an over 55. Over 55, and you know what I mean. That's a different crowd, and you know,
same jokes.
No, I do a different act.
You mixed it up.
Yeah, I did a different act, And then I ran there, and I got there like 9:30 because I was at 7. I want to make sure the show starts at 9, but he told me, don't go on. So I'm sitting there waiting to go up, and I'm like, I got to pee, you know what I mean? My luck, he's going to call me. Sure enough, I'm in there peeing. And Dougie yelled at me, oh, no. Ran, anyway, had a great time, great set. Went fucking worked a new joke out. I told Cisco about this. I told him, hey, I wrote a new joke. It crushed, and I'm really proud of it, and can't wait to do it again this week. Going to be at Stingers on Saturday in Pompano Beach, Florida.
It's gonna
nice.
Kill.
Right, you're gonna be there, dude. Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're gonna be there, and that's
gonna be a good
Pompano
show.
Beach, and
I'm gonna be at that Nippers thing. Doing that.
Yeah, I did that last week. Fun.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I'm gonna be there this Thursday.
Had a good time there. Every Thursday they have a show.
There's a place called Yappers that's doing. No.
Really? Okay.
Hey, back to the news. Body awaiting cremation found 3 years later.
Nice. It's ready.
At the funeral home.
Yeah.
It's definitely ready now.
That family was really, wow. Yeah. They were really on top of things.
That's a long layaway plan. Sorry, guys, on Facebook Live, not reading your comments. It's really impossible at this moment for me. But a South Carolina coroner says the decomposed body of a woman whose family thought she had been cremated almost 3 years ago has been discovered at a funeral home with a bunch of daisies in it. I'll get some carnations. The soil seemed very fertile.
That's.
It was actually. Yeah, but didn't somebody in the family go, "Hey, who's got Uncle Bob?"
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? Who actually got no one? No one. That's the problem.
They were all at the lawyer's place, you know, carving up the estate.
Yeah,
that's for 3 years.
They're like divvying up the trust account.
Right.
Why didn't I get the Corvette?
I mean, how many people are dying in this town that you forget a body's back?
But listen, think about this. Let's work with what we know. Here's a situation that his remains, right? That you usually put in an urn or you do something with, or the next of kin.
Right.
You know, they ask whoever's left, right?
Coffee can if you're in Big Lebowski.
There's a next of kin, you know?
Oh, he was already cremated?
Well, I mean, body. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's just bodies laying around, just hanging out. He's like Weekend at Bernie's, and there's no fucking weekend.
You people walking into the office every day going, oh, yep, I remember about that.
A South Carolina coroner says the decomposed body of a woman whose family thought she had been cremated almost 3 years ago had been discovered at the funeral home. Spartanburg County Coroner Rusty Clevenger said
great
his
name.
Office. Yeah, but it was fucking great for this
Rusty
story.
Rusty Clevenger.
Yeah. Ooh, get my tetanus shot.
His nickname Skeeter.
Was notified earlier this month by former employees of the First Family Funeral Home that a body had been stored there for a long time.
Imagine they're all just like working around her. She's just in the middle of the office.
Is somebody going to pick this up?
There's like a cup of coffee and a stack of papers on her head.
The microwave on her ass.
Right.
The woman was identified as a 63-year-old Mary Alice Pitts Moore. Boy, that's why they get us too long. Mary Alice Pitts Moore of Pitts Donald's. Cleve Clevenger said Moore died back in 2015 in March in Anderson County home, natural causes. He said it took 2 weeks to identify her because conventional means were not possible.
See, I feel like I procrastinate.
Yeah. What do you mean? Like they couldn't recognize her from any other person?
Right.
Clevenger said he spoke with the family members who were upset because they thought Moore had been cremated.
I know I'm forgetting something. What is it?
Yeah.
What is
and that'd be
it?
Funny, and the guy keeps tripping over the lady's foot. It's laying in the middle of the fucking...
And they just had an urn with cigarette ashes in it on the mantle, like, yeah. This whole time.
But, I mean, but nobody gave a shit about this poor woman. Right, otherwise, right. Somebody said, well, who got her ashes?
Yeah. I thought you had them.
Meanwhile, they hear the body, I'm not dead. Yeah, she actually didn't die. Here's a little, one of your DACA people.
The
amazing.
Dreamers.
Outstanding.
It's amazing how that fight just no longer is important anymore. And the Democrats say, fuck it, we don't give a fuck about that anymore.
God. They're so disappointing.
All these, that's one thing about these, you know, these illegal.
Man, they really
after something that this happened, think about this. After this happened, who's talking about that? Who's talking about, you know, illegal kids that are here illegally when 17 kids just got shot in a school?
It's really true.
DACA recipient 21 threatened to shoot all you bitches at a New York high school, police say.
What?
And this girl is not a fucking looker. A 21-year-old illegal immigrant who was allowed to stay in the U.S. under the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, otherwise known as DACA, program has been arrested last week in Rochester, New York, for making terrorist threats against students in a high school.
Man.
Wow, really hitting all the 2018 themes here.
That's right. In this millennial generation.
Right.
Abigail Hernandez.
She's kneeling on a football field, too.
Yep. Shooting off fireworks.
Right.
Was arrested and charged for threats against East High School and was remanded to the Monroe County Jail with a $15,000 bail. Hernandez, who was not a student at the school, was moved to the federal detention facility and will be held there until fucking ICE members take her the fuck out of here.
Get her out. You know, it's funny. I'm all for people that want to better their lives. That's great. And if you want to be a citizen of the United States, how about this? How about you don't protest? How about you go and you give a apple to the president and say, thank you so much for letting me stay for as long as I did.
Give an
hey,
apple.
Is that apple ticking?
I don't know. I'm just mixing school themes.
Trump's
in,
like,
huh?
Why the fuck is she giving me an apple? I don't eat them. I eat Big
but
Macs.
But I'm saying,
I want
just
a Big Mac.
Act appropriate. Don't burn the American flag and throw your Mexican flag up and say that's better. Hmm. That's not really going to convince anyone that.
Rochester's
probably not a good tactic for your own personal well-being.
Yeah, it's not like you want to walk up to a group of people you want to hang out with and start going, you guys are fucking assholes. All right, Rochester City School District called police at 5 p.m. on February 16th about a threat posted on the school's Facebook page, which read, I'm coming tomorrow morning and I'm going to shoot all you fuckers.
Wow.
Aw, bitches. I misread it, but fuckers would have been better.
Did the FBI at least take her into custody?
No. They were getting donuts.
Fucking Christ.
Yeah, so. Ain't gonna have that happen.
I remember one fucking time I'm at like a Grand Prix and I spit my gum or I put my cigarette out and I didn't put it in a garbage can or something. And this cop fucking harassed me so hard.
You like at the old Grand Prix Racerama?
Yeah. So hard. Like, I thought he was going to put me in fucking juvenile hall. Like, that's how hard he swept me for a goddamn cigarette butt.
Right.
These people are posting on Facebook and the world, I'm going to shoot people. What is wrong? What's wrong?
Someone was probably shooting someone while he was harassing you about the cigarette.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Meanwhile.
Truthfully was, probably. We live in Florida.
All right. Speaking of that, a woman defecates in pants to hide the drugs she was carrying.
Oh, perfect. That's great. I like that story.
That's right?
Good. That's a good technique.
I got all this shit on me. What do I do?
Right.
Oh, I just got a shit on me.
9 out of 10 times
that works.
I'm going to shit myself. I'm using a voice because she happens to be, I'm looking at her photo on the story, but she's a black woman, young woman.
Can you do the voice better?
I'll try it next time, but I'm no Rich Little.
Do a little Mr. T.
Yeah.
Doug.
I pity the fool. Don't let me shit my pants. Corsicana, Texas. Police say a Texas woman attempted to hide evidence during an arrest by defecating in her pants and using the feces to conceal the drugs.
Smart. That's advanced level.
That is. This is a trained professional.
Right.
Jeez.
Officers in Coruscant, about 55 miles south of Dallas, were investigating a report of a theft at a grocery store on Wednesday. When they attempted to subdue a female suspect to take her into custody, police say that they placed Shannon Martin in the back of the police cruiser when they say she intentionally defecated in her pants.
Wow.
Then hit a crack pipe, 2.3 grams of cocaine, and Valentine's Day card in the shit.
She hit her Valentine's Day card?
Smart.
Yeah, I mean,
bitch.
Why, you know.
Because, you know, she's going to need that later.
Did they know she was shitting because she was staring at
him? I don't want to make this look suspicious. I'm going to put my Valentine's Day card in here, too.
Well, she's like, she's still going to give that Valentine to someone.
Yeah, I'm going to give somebody a stinky Valentine.
So that's a good technique. Like, ma'am, we're going to need to search your pants. Oh, sure, no problem. Hang on just a second. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Never mind. Well, you know what? You're free to go.
This is good. This is a chick that's really good at magic. How did you shit and stuff shit in your shit without...
It's like a mirror in front of a mirror.
Officers had to sift
through the woman's feces to retrieve the evidence. After Martin was booked and charged tampering with evidence, least to say, and possession of controlled substances. And unfortunately, she didn't have a bottle of Lysol.
See, cops would rather be searching through a lady's shit for crack than running into a school and saving the kids.
Yeah, oddly enough, there was an officer who ran from the side there with his gun drawn.
Right, I'm not. I think I saw someone else shitting in their pants over there.
Yeah. Hey, buddy, I'll get this for you.
Suffering from crazy fecal dystopia.
All right, now here's an interesting story. I'm going to be going to Vegas. Going to be doing a showcase spot March 20th at the Laugh Factory in Vegas.
Cool.
That's going to be real excited to do that. And hopefully I sign up for the World Series of Comedy Satellite at the L.A. Comedy Club at the Stratosphere.
Nice.
See if I get in on that. And so I'm hoping it all comes together. But Vegas, this is pretty cool. You know, it's legal there. Like, you could smoke, like...
Weed, yeah.
Yeah, you can just go buy it.
Right,
you
know right. I mean? It's nice. Recreationally legal.
Yeah. But there's long lines. It's very like it, when I was in Reno, I went to this one place by the hotel, and it was like, you got to go in, you get walked in, you know
right.
what I mean? Somebody sits down, talks to you, then you go over here. It was like weird process.
You got
to
wait in. It's like a deli or something.
Yeah, it's like a doctor's waiting room, and then you go through this mirrored, like one-way, right. two-way mirror. You know?
But then they have, so you take a number, and then you play Keno with that number.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty interesting.
It's a great way to spend time.
Las Vegas. Let me read the headline. Las Vegas Airport installs marijuana disposal boxes.
Okay. Oh, I see.
We're not going to charge you for putting our boxes. We're just going to keep all the weed.
Right. Wow. Right.
I mean, that's happened before. I
put my shit covered crack pipe in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my stinky crack pipe.
Take that.
I know. You know. Can I put it in there? This is the same thing. we were on a. I remember my. We were a bunch of friends. We were coming from New Orleans. We're getting to the airport, and we got like a, I guess it was like a limo because my buddy did that kind of stuff. You know, like a,
right.
Like a limo, but like a town car kind of thing. And we're sitting in the back, and my buddy Frankie pulls out. There's a whole joint in the seat just sitting there.
Right.
And he's like, somebody was going to the airport, like, well, I'm just going to leave it here. Someone else could figure out what they want to do with it.
Yeah.
And we actually smoked that thing before we got on the airplane because I'm nervous when I get an airplane. So I'm like, I was glad to. I got to get rid of it.
Perfect. Yeah.
But we're smoking just outside the airport. We're like, oh, no.
I remember doing that in Amsterdam. I remember the first time I went to Amsterdam, you know, it's like you get there and you're at the airport, which is
right.
Schiphol, which is far away from the city. So I remember I got there and I was talking to these two kids and they're like, oh, hey, where do you get the weed? And they're like, well, it's all the way in the city. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Man. And they're like, oh, here, have our weed. We're getting on a plane to London. So just take ours because we can't smoke it anymore.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, this is like an airport trade-off.
That was nice.
Yeah.
I hooked up my comedian friend Warren Durso one time when I was in Vegas. I was leaving. I was heading back. This is before it was legal. And I'm like, I had this stuff. I go, he comes and meets me at the Penn Station. Penn Station, where they have the oyster bar. Oh, man, so fucking good. Mm. And I came by there while waiting in line. And said, here you go, buddy. Give him a nice canister.
Yeah,
he's like, what's
sweet.
This? I'm like, well, I'm getting on a plane in up in a couple hours.
Your gambler's edge.
Las Vegas McCarran International Airport has installed marijuana amnesty boxes.
Marijuana amnesty.
On the grounds for passengers who forgot to ditch their legal bud.
Huh.
Not bad. I listen, that'd be great.
Do they donate the amnesty boxes to the homeless? Or, I mean, what would go on with
it? Well, it actually goes to a fund to promote amnesty for the dreamers.
Yeah.
Zero, so.
All the weed will be donated.
Yeah. So you're not in favor of this one.
The local artist community. Bastards. The drawer pulls you out. The drawer pulls out. You drop your stuff in, and you close it. You can't really get your hand in there. I'm sure somebody tried to figure that
right.
out.
Right. It's basically a mailbox.
Right. McCarran spokesman Christy Cruz told the news, "If you start tampering with them, you'd be detected pretty quickly, and we all know it's not a good idea to do something in an airport."
Ooh.
Right.
You know,
you're like, yo, I got that bomb. I put it in there.
Yeah.
And they're like, hang on, sir.
My weed's ticking.
This shit is fire.
Yeah. But not a bad thing, man, because I think that's, you know, like I said, I'd be interested. She said the boxes are emptied frequently by a company on contract with the county. And that company.
Yeah, what company is that?
Fucking see Cheech and Chong walking in.
Right?
Hey, man, where's the boxes?
Seriously.
Yeah, it's our job, man. We're supposed to get the boxes.
Sergeant Stadenko told us to get the boxes.
Sergeant Stadenko. Fucking old albums. It's funny as shit. Ah, man. What a day. Man burns down his house trying to get rid of skunks.
That is the only way to do it.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, do you want to live in a house that skunks were in?
Well, yeah. You smell skunk, right?
I've never smelled a skunk.
You ever skunk smell? You never smelled it?
That's my cologne.
I was going to say, that's the ganj. Yeah.
Oh, the pew.
Oh, the pew. Man burns down his house trying to get rid of skunks in February. A Michigan man attempting to use a smoke bomb.
Oof.
To evict some skunks from the crawl space of his home, ended up lighting the house on fire.
He's trying to smoke them out.
Yeah. Ferndale Fire Chief Kevin Sullivan said the firefighters were called to the home about 10:30 a.m. Monday after a resident attempted to use a smoke bomb to chase skunks out of the crawl space of his house.
That's fucking crazy.
We knew we had a problem when the box said Acme. Sullivan said the flames had spread from the crawl space to the first floor of the house by the time firefighters had arrived. We suggested citizens hire pest control professionals. However, if one is an absolute diehard to do it yourself, this is the kind of thing you do. So,
bad idea.
Honey, what happened to the house? Well, we had a fucking skunk, and I had this idea that I'll just, you know, do it my own way.
You got, like, fumigate and fumar mixed up. Yeah.
Hey, I just got them stink bombs. Yeah. Got a big old smoke bomb. You lit it up with the flare.
Like, what did this guy do for a living that he has just smoke bombs laying around? I know what I could do.
We sold the firecrackers to those kids, you know?
Fire can double in size every 30 seconds, even at a slow rate, for those of you who ever find yourself in that situation.
Really?
So if you see a little fire, and you're thinking, oh, this ain't too bad, let me get some sugar, right? Because if you have a stove fire, people don't know that. It'd be like a grease fire.
Right.
People try to fucking throw water on it, and it explodes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
I've seen that happen in somebody's house once.
It, like, hydrolyzes. Yeah,
the person never had fucking eyebrows again.
Wow.
Jeez.
You know?
Look at me. I got hair everywhere. That would be bad.
Yeah.
That's what happened here.
That's what you, Ciro, that's your...
Ciro was the first guy to try to throw water on a grease fire.
Right,
right. Horrible.
So, if that ever happens, you got to throw either sand or sugar. Usually you have a bunch of sugar. Or salt, right? Does salt work?
Or crack.
Is it... Yeah, or fine
shit covered crack.
Is it sugar or do you throw salt? I think salt.
It's probably salt. I don't think sugar would work out real well.
I think anything like that actually probably is okay. It would smother it, right?
Yeah, like rice, maybe a bag of rice.
Bag of rice. That has your iPhone in it that you're trying to dry out.
Oh, yeah. The iPhone, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, we got plenty of stories.
Asbestos works good.
There you go. Just ask your neighbor to borrow a cup of asbestos.
By the way, Elgin thought he was having a bad day when somebody broke in and stole his airbag. But here's a guy that needed to call the fire department to release his genitals from a spanner. What's a spanner? Is that a wrestling move, Ciro?
I have no idea.
A spanner is a wrench.
but it does sound like one.
In the United Kingdom, they use the word spanner, or Canada. It means wrench.
Well, this is Sky News report. There you go. It's probably, you want to do it in English accent?
Oh, spanner. Shit, he got it stuck in the wrench?
Yeah, he got his dick stuck in a wrench.
That's...
Dick wrench.
Crews were called to assist A&E staff with patient at a Royal Gwent hospital in Newport, South Wales on Wednesday. They had to use their cutting equipment to remove the steel tool. South Wales Fire and Rescue Services issued a warning on social media afterwards. If you're using tools, make sure you're handling them as the manufacturer intended.
What? Best British accent ever, Dougie. Yeah, that was perfect. Was that James Bond? What?
All I gotta do it differently.
The saying, don't welch on a bet, really comes into play here.
If you're tools using twos. Yeah, man. Is that what it does? I don't get what.
A spanner? It's just a wrench.
A wrench.
It means a wrench. Literally is what it means.
Listen, go back to my method, which was the handle guard.
Is it a channel lock wrench?
I don't know.
Was it a ratchet wrench?
Was it a ratchet wrench?
Well, yeah. No, no. I gave my listeners the advice.
Did it have a sprocket?
That needed something like that to, just go to like a bike shop, an BMX bike shop.
Yeah.
And get one of those handlebar, like foam things.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, take off. You don't need the leather fucking thing on the top anymore.
I leave the number on it.
Yeah. And just lube up that that foam thing, and it's
like a cheap fleshlight.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, it costs like a dollar.
Wow.
Right.
Here's a story: trolley driver paid man $2,000 to attack him while he was on the job.
Huh.
All right.
Make it look real, dude.
That sounds not gonna work.
Authorities say a Massachusetts trolley driver paid a man $2,000 to attack him while wearing a Halloween mask, so the driver could fraudulently collect workman's compensation and disability insurance.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Suffolk County Grand Jury on Wednesday indicted Thomas Lucy.
How do you go to lunch with someone with their mask on later? I mean, why would you do that?
And charges insurance fraud, workers' compensation fraud, misleading the police on an investigation, and perjury. Ooh, that's the worst one out of all.
Wow, that job must suck.
Yeah, trolley car, man.
He's driving a trolley. He hates it.
I didn't. Somebody take. I know I could just quit, but
it's like there's got to be a way out.
Well, where does a trolley car driver go to? You know, he's like he can't be an Uber guy. Like, could you imagine? He calls Uber and says, "Hey, I want a job. I work in transportation. Yeah, what do you do? I'm on a trolley car. Well, that thing kind of goes where it wants to, right? I mean, it's not right. Like you drive the thing.
That's true.
You might as well be an elevator.
Yeah,
attendant.
You're just pushing the buttons. Although I don't think Uber's very discriminating in who they hire.
It doesn't seem that way. You're right.
How do you approach that skill for that guy? Like, okay, do you want to punch me in the face? All right, listen to this.
Right.
Yeah, don't hit me in the face. Punch me in the belly. Prosecutors say the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority driver reported the man pulled him out of the trolley shortly after midnight on October 30th, because that's a good shady hour, and punched him repeatedly. The attacker wore a mask and carried a plastic pumpkin.
Oh, I see. So it was around Halloween, so I figured it would
authorities say they lifted fingerprints from the pumpkin left behind at the scene and to find the man, and that he said Lucy paid him. They found the guy and said, Lucy, of course, he spilled the beans. It's hard to fire. For $2,000, you're not going to find $2,000, somebody's going to squeal.
I imagine he's sitting there in a cell like, did the guy really need the pumpkin?
Yeah.
Like, how was he had to complete the Halloween costume?
Hey,
he
was method,
just supposed to hit me.
I'm a method fake attacker.
It was full of candy.
Yeah. At any rate, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I want to thank Ciro Dobrik for joining us today.
Hey, man, thank you. Thank you, Facebook
Ethan
Live.
Ethan Moore.
Thanks, Dougie.
Great things are coming, guys. Tadat Productions back. We've got some shows coming up. We're going to start announcing them. Jim Florentine, Brian Scalaro, Steve Martin. Great stuff coming up. By the way, 28th, I'll be at Dada's tomorrow night in Delray,
nice.
Headlining the room. Wednesday, I'll be at the Improv in Palm Beach and the Showcase, local comic showcase. And Friday, I'm going to be in Isla Mirada at Island Grill.
Cool.
So more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. Follow me at Dougie Dangerous. Ciro?
I would check out Brian Scalaro. That's great. Check me out at Ciro Comic and Comedy Detour every Monday night at The Hole.
There you go.
I'll be at Nippers in Boca Raton this Thursday, which is the 1st of March. I'll be there. You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at EthanIsNotFunny. And check out my political podcast, Mean and Sober, meanandsober.com.
There you go, guys. Thanks for watching. Tomorrow in the studio, LJ David and Peter Leonard will join me. And we'll be here. You right here at the same spot. Take care.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed.
children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. The beam of light hit the ground. Lifetimes with the children of the sun, they started to climb.